Spoiler alert, I watch a lot of Bravo, and when I'm not watching Bravo, I'm sitting in the cloth having a moment of spiritual growth, and when that's not happening, I'm living here in New York where there is a lot to do and not a lot of time to do it. The last thing that I want to be thinking about, let alone worrying about, is my hair. Now, I have wavy hair naturally. It also has color processing, which is surprising because I am a spiritual blonde. And as a result, I don't want to have to worry about frizz. That's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream. It works for my hair texture. It works for having wavy hair. It smells great. There are notes of bergamot, Italian lemon. You guys know I just went to Italy. It was for moments like this, violet and more. Having used a lot of products in my hair in the past, I don't like a heavy feeling, especially when you have wavy hair. That's incredibly important, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It makes my hair look like me just a little bit better. Way's new anti-frizz cream provides immediate frizz control that lasts up to 72 hours. It helps reduce and repair split ends. And according to a consumer perception study, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looks less frizzy. And I would like to know what that consumer perception study has to say about some original cast members of The Real Housewives of New York. You'll be way obsessed with Way's bestsellers. They're leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, hair oil, gloss, and so much more. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code Andy. C'est bon, c'est bon. With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom or a maternal figure in your life? Let me tell you about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you want to ask. Then she can either type up her response or record her voice. And mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. I want to know about the stories of how my mom and dad grew up. What's the first thing they remember after they were born? That's one of the questions I sent to my dad after signing up for My Life in a Book. And I can't think of a greater gift to give my dad in sharing his stories and to receive. It's super easy to use. My favorite part of it, as someone who sometimes lives on turtle time and forgets about sending or receiving email, is that they reach out a couple days prior to sending questions, just so I know of what questions they're going to send to my dad, if I want to change it for another question or customize it with something that I want to know. It's that kind of specificity and care that I love so much. This is genuinely an incredible, incredible gift. There's no greater present than I could give a family member or a loved one than to participate in this kind of meaningful appreciation for the entirety of their lives, separate from my own. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code AndySgirls at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom or loved one this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com. with code Andy's Girls for 10% off today. And thank the Jills Aaron and your life and mine.
You can call me the queen, but I prefer a text.
Okay, this is a Marlo pitch. They say the juiciest peach is the one you let fully ripen.
Oh my God.
sexual.
Diamonds aren't a girl's best friend. Archie Bador is.
Aww.
Gotta get those heartstrings going.
Yeah. I love that I was like, money? Money? You guys, it's Andy's Girls. It's episode 261. And I'm so excited to have back two of my favorite people. And not just because they both attended Andy's Girls Live.
God, loved it.
Loved it. Love seeing you there. Loved experiencing it all together. Mm-hmm. You know them as the hosts of the amazing podcast, Come Through Queen. Welcome back to the People's Pout. Oh my God, Kangaroo Couch, Kangaroo Court, maybe. Dan Calabrese and Brendan Davis. Ooh. How are we?
Oh my God, thank you.
Great. Thank you for having us back.
Oh my God. First off, I have to tell you, I'm a little out of it. Mm. As you can, even though I look like a goddess.
Yes,
yes, always, always, always.
Thank you so much.
Nice painted in my walls, hoodie. By the way.
Thank you for noticing. Can I please tell you, my apartment got painted, as you all know, for the first time in well over a decade.
Wow.
And part of the Clawfest is arriving this week. I have like a whole build out arriving for my second bedroom. And I just want to make sure that you guys know that there's nothing good in there. So if you are thinking of pulling a Dorit part 3, I just want to let you guys know in advance, it's just full of shit. There's just, look at what I'm wearing now. Like Kathy Hilton, there's maybe a silver shell in there, but like maybe I'm going to post it on social. Maybe I'm not. I'm not quite sure how that's going to work.
Wow.
But thank you for acknowledging the painted walls, but I do have to say that I am a little upset. I'm a little angry. I'm a little mad because I did take an accidental nap.
Oh,
wow.
And it was like an hour and a half, and I am very disoriented. I've been awake, we're recording this Monday night. I have been awake for the last several hours, but like I'm very upset about it. I don't understand what my surroundings are.
Walk us through, like you just don't nap at all.
I don't nap. I refuse to nap. I'm, in fact, actually technically an adult. And as such, I don't. I know that napping. Listen, Dorinda dies for her disco nap every afternoon at 4. And I love that journey for her. But I can't do it. I don't know if it's a control thing or whatever. But I have a new member of the family of the Galley household.
Yes. Yeah.
PK, my new beta fish. Mm-hmm. We've been through it with some stress. He has been alive in my, you know, under my tutelage or whatever for 8 days, not that I'm counting. And he was at one point accidentally poisoned, was not my
God.
Fault.
What the fuck?
I called friend of the pod, Ryan Houlihan, screaming, and I put Ryan on FaceTime and made Ryan watch PK seemingly die while I was screaming because I could see the inside of him.
Oh,
the
wow.
inside of PK.
That's very much like when Bethany put the world through Cookie to Boo Boo having a seizure.
Oh, wow.
I remember where I was.
I mean, I remember where I was during that because my soul curdled. And I said to Ryan, like, this isn't good, right? And Ryan was like, no, it's definitely not good. And I called Petco and Petco was like, yeah, we'll give you a refund. And I was like, I want you to save my son's life. I don't want a refund.
You can't refund a soul, actually.
Yeah.
You can't. Have you guys like not watched Beverly Hills? PK is so important. Also, his social media. Like, PK Galley, PK the fish is, I mean, my God, priceless. Mm. Unless you're a robber. And then apparently there is a price.
Yeah.
But wow. So I realized it was actually, I think he had some sort of reaction to the dosage of the cleaning, yada, yada. So
the dosage.
The dosage. Now, who gave him that dose? I'm not sure. There's an investigation that's ongoing. But anyway, I'm looking at him now. He's doing great. He's fighting with himself. He's being a little sassafras. Love of my life, PK Galley. But as a result, because his water is supposed to be temperate, I have closed all the windows in my apartment. And I'm not allowing myself air conditioning because I want to try to make him as comfortable as possible.
Wow, putting the fish first.
Wow.
Putting the fish first. But I think because the climate in my bedroom is now like a little tropical.
Okay.
It wasn't passing out, but I do think I lulled myself into a slumber. And like, is he worth? Yes, he's worth it. But I do now have a little bit of the AC on so that I don't maybe die.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know,
for the best.
So this is a fun, short way of saying I've really been through it today. And as we know, Archie went missing last night.
Mm. I know. And like thinking about your fish trauma and your former fish was named Archie. It's
Archie Bador Galley. May his memory be a blessing.
I know. I've been through what Shannon went through last night. When I was a child, we lost our dear beloved yellow lab, Jackie, for 5 days. But we found her at the pound after 5 days. So I felt for Shannon. I actually really did feel sad about, because she was like, speaking of trauma, which has been a big buzzword between Lisa Barlow and then also Jamie Lee Curtis recently. I felt that trauma.
Mm.
Wait, what was the Jamie Lee Curtis trauma?
That's her
trauma of filming a bad movie?
No. It's the talking point of the two most recent Halloween movies. She's like, because you know whenever they do like talk show appearances, they essentially have like what they're going to say about their project. And her talking point is, this is a film about trauma, a study in trauma, generational trauma. Rich Dresdwick posted like the amazing compilation of her just saying trauma, trauma, trauma over and over on all her appearances.
Yeah. It was like when Lady Gaga was going around and saying there's 100 people in the room.
Yes.
And you just need one. Yeah.
Oh my God, I need to see it. Sidebar. Have you seen, I need to see that compilation, but also have you watched the movie?
Of course.
We saw it together last weekend.
No. Did you go in a theater or did you watch it at home?
We went to Fort Lee, New Jersey.
Why?
Because our friends lived there. We wanted to see the baby. No, it was mainly because we wanted to see our friend's baby again. And that was just nearby.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So, no, but it was actually an amazing experience because I've not been to a theater like this. You may have been to Alamo where they're like very comfy seats. Like,
oh yeah, that's for fancy
table.
People, though. I don't have that kind of cash.
But
yeah.
But this was like Alamo to the next level with like pods that you could practically lay down in and watch the movie. So we kind of took over the whole theater. There was like us and maybe like 8 other people in the theater.
We were giving, when Kyle Richards' name appeared in the title card, we were applauding, standing ovation. When she first appeared on screen, we were applauding, standing ovation. She is the best part of that film, eh?
Yeah, she is.
Wait, but like, is she really?
No, she's actually
one of the best, at least.
Dance face, and you guys have seen. It looked like you froze. Your face like was like, well, I'm not quite.
And
Brendan, tell me more.
And
tell me
kind
more.
Of the ending is like kind of set up for like, she could be a bigger part of the next movie because it's like a trilogy. Mm. So she's still around. Spoiler alert. Sorry, Andy's girls.
The girls. Sorry to the girls.
Sorry to the girls. Yeah, but I think she could be a bigger part of the next movie.
Well, she's confirmed to be returning to the third installment.
Yeah.
And she could be a ghost.
Well, she could, yeah. She's
but she's still alive.
So for someone like moi, who yesterday in honor of Halloween spent, you know, people watch scary movies and I Wikipedia them. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, let me, I like went through a list of like the best movies, scary movies to watch on Netflix. And I just Wikipedia the plots because I don't have the capacity.
Oh, you would hate it.
To be frightened.
Yeah.
You would hate it.
But maybe I should watch it. Is it really scary?
It's gory. It's not
gory.
Scary.
It's gory.
I'm okay with gore. I don't like to be frightened.
It's not.
No,
like,
I'm the opposite.
Yeah. I prefer to be frightened than the gore.
By gore, you mean...
It's like there's like a lot of like eye gouging.
Like eye gouging, like bah, like a lot of
like
slicing and dicing.
Like I can see eyes longer. Okay.
Yeah, so Dan's husband actually suggested that if you are a glasses wearer, take your glasses off during those scenes so it'll be like blurry.
Yeah.
So is that what happens when you don't have a great script that you're like, oh, and then somebody's eye falls out? Like what?
I think they just lost control. Like the prior movie was a little bit more serious and less campy, less gore and violence for the sake of it. There was there was more of a point to the 2018 Halloween. This one is just kind of goes really crazy, and the town is acting in a way that does not make a ton of sense.
Yeah, they decided to, they saw the Met Gala in 2019 and they decided to scare, or look camp right in the eye.
Yes, they did. and gouge the eye.
And gouge the eye.
Can I ask a question? Because I haven't seen the original, but I do one day plan to Wikipedia it. So I know that she was like a babysitter, blah, blah, blah. And I think like Kyle was one of the kids or whatever. Yep.
Yeah.
So is it all happening in this one like Woodsboro-esque town?
Yes.
Or has she moved? Why doesn't she move?
Exactly. Well, interestingly
enough, the original film from 1978 splits off into different timelines that for the movies that have been released thus far. And in Halloween H2O, which was released in 1998, 20 years after.
Halloween Water?
Water.
Halloween Water.
It's the 20th anniversary of Halloween. Yeah.
I know, but, and then he taps into the public water system.
No, she moves away in that one and actually changes her name and has Josh Hartnett as her son.
Hottie.
And Michelle Williams as her son's girlfriend. Yeah.
Wait, Michelle Williams of Prestige Movie Making and also Dawson's Creek?
Yes.
Wow.
But the current iteration disregards that timeline. Yes. And she's like lived on the outskirts of town in the movie, but never really fully left.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe she should leave.
I know,
right?
It's wild. But it's a film about trauma.
It's a study in, like she says, it's a study in trauma. I say it's a study in people making the wrong decisions.
Bad decisions.
But that's kind of like, all horror movies.
That
so,
is
I guess.
All horror movies, which I was telling Dan about on Saturday Night Halloween.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I do have to say, and I don't know if this is a spoiler alert, but for anyone who hasn't seen Squid Games, like the games aren't great, but like I fucking loved Squid Games, which I know was like maybe a little gory, is like maybe an understatement, but like I've watched it twice all the way through. I thought it was really interesting and I thought it was really, really well done and beautifully shot and directed, and so that's not that. I don't know if that's considered scary. That's not really scary.
If you could handle the gore in Squid Game, this is probably like a few degrees gorier, but not too off base. If you could handle Squid Game, I think you can handle this.
Well, I'm so excited that Kyle didn't fuck it up, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's great. Good for her.
No, I mean, I, for some reason, I'm really into Kyle Richards' movie star and the way, and also like the way that like Jamie Lee Curtis appreciates Kyle Richards. I like, for some reason, really like, and I'm not a Kyle stan, but like for some reason, I really like that.
No, I was vehemently anti-Kyle for years and years, and now I want to like throw a parade for her. I'm happy for her.
We're walking down Fifth Avenue with Kyle, the Kyle Richards parade.
Proud of her.
And what do you think led to that kind of change, that transition in you?
She broke me down.
Was it like during a certain scuffle?
Okay.
Or Kim just became so sad that you sort of understood what Kyle has survived. Oh, that was terrible. But like a little bit, like, yeah, she's really dealt with a lot.
So I just think like I didn't love the version of her that was under LVP's thumb. And then that first season without LVP, I thought she was trying things out that didn't really work for her character.
And we hated her going, at that time, we hated her going like outside of Sur and saying like, goodbye, Kyle. Like that thing that she tried to do on like TikTok and Instagram. But I think she's like a Pokemon. She's like reached another level. You know what I mean?
She evolved. Like Wendy Osefa said, like we all need to evolve, and Kyle has evolved into movie actress.
Kyle is now a spiritual three-wick candle, we love that journey for her. A little diamond. Do diamonds have a smell? No, they don't.
A diamond
scented candle. I should. And again, guys, they're not real. Don't come to my apartment.
This new fear in you is wild.
I know.
I really thought about it. I was like, so does this mean I like can't post the rendering? Or like, what is this? But anyway, I think you know, for whatever reason, I'm not seen as being on Dorit's level.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be a little sneaky with my enormous credit card debt. Listen, there's so much for us to discuss. I mean, I know this is an odd transition, but since we're talking about money, mm-hmm. I do think we should maybe talk a little bit about the huge fucking announcement that came out today, which is Bravo's first ever international franchise coming from the network, being produced and aired by the network, which is different from the licensing of other international shows. Mm-hmm. They're going to Dubai, the newest franchise in 2022, reportedly with Caroline Stanberry at the center and mm-hmm. a bunch of other fucking wealthy folks. What are your thoughts? What was your reaction to it?
As somebody who Ladies of London I loved so much, and I am looking forward to this franchise, but I recently did a rewatch of Ladies of London, and I'm not trying to be negative here, but actually, like,
no, I know what you're gonna say.
The people from Ladies of London I would love to move on with, Caroline Stanberry actually isn't the one. Because by the end of the franchise, she actually became like the curmudgeon who didn't want to be there. Whereas I want to follow, like, the other players. I would love to follow her sister-in-law. Not her sister-in-law. It's her.
Sophie?
Yeah, Sophie.
Yeah, her former sister-in-law.
Yeah. With the great hair. Or, like, even
Marissa,
who is, like, good friends with Crystal. Like, I would love to follow, like, really any of them. But I'll watch, of course.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah, Dan, tell me.
Yeah, I would have been more excited, I think, for another U.S. city. Not that, like, the United States is the center of the world and, like, all Housewives shows need to be here, but, like, we already have international versions, and I kind of think people have been hoping for a Midwest, like a Chicago moment. I would have personally loved a Boston moment.
Boston, like,
you know, I feel that, you know.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. I mean, you're a New England gal, so.
New England gal, New England vibe. I don't think we could have handled it. I don't think that Boston would have carried. I really don't. I think that the Boston version of wealth is, like, a little tedious. And that's because they're good people in Boston. I think that's a benefit to Boston that I don't think it would be a good idea.
I mean, like,
I would have loved it.
If John Kerry was out of politics and we got a Teresa Hines Kerry holding center baked bean, maybe that would work. But, yeah.
I think something interesting about the Dubai selection, it is actually the perfect intersection of International Housewives and U.S. Housewives, because famously Beverly Hills and Melbourne filmed a vacation there at the same time. And like I think there was a run-in between the cast or something that didn't go well. So,
I don't remember it. Wasn't it with like LVP and somebody? It LVP and the lawyer, the barrister?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Gina Liano, I want to say. I forget. You know, I think that there's been a little bit of pushback to the Dubai of it all. Obviously, everyone is losing their minds, myself included. And the idea of Caroline coming back is enormously exciting to people, myself included. Although I do have to say that Brendan just, I think that there has been a little bit of a rewrite on Caroline where people loved her on Ladies of London, but I think people are thinking she's more of like a protagonist than she actually is.
Right.
Like she's something, she's a great, she's perfect for Bravo. She's a fantastic reality TV star. She's always traveling. Her life is super interesting. Now she's getting fucking married again. And there's a lot going on. And I love her. I just think that people are thinking she's going to be like maybe the hero of the franchise in a way that I'm a little confused by.
And she was never the hero. I mean, she was like,
she was never the hero of Ladies of London.
She was kind of the LVP of Ladies of London. Like she had that energy where she was kind of critical of everyone and like kind of, I don't want to say bully, I want to say, but like would have like fun with like poking at people, which
100%.
Like you need that person in the mix, but they're not going to be the person who like is the main star at all. I'm excited at the thought of her getting married, and I heard that like her getting married would bring people like Juliet Angus into the mix again, and like other folks from Ladies of London, which I love the crossover moment, and we'll speak on more crossover moments with or Sean popping up in Potomac this week. Oh my God. So psycho. But like, I always love a moment like that. But yeah, I will be watching and I will be talking about it, obviously. Mm.
I also did a little bit of research on Dubai, knowing, you know, there's some stuff there. Yeah. And there's some stuff everywhere, mm-hmm. but...
Yeah,
there's
some
extra stuff there. I don't know. I don't know how that's gonna go.
There's the that of it all, which like I don't even like know the ins and outs of like the politics there and like all of that. Yeah, so like I have no idea how we're going to be talking about it. It was interesting to watch Andy Cohen on the Today Show like introducing it and like so wild. And it's also like for me, the way Housewives have been talked about, it's for me interesting that we're introducing what another city and it's an international city whereas like at this point in the Housewives lexicon we're getting like books written about like the history of Housewives, so like it will be so interesting to see just like the next couple of years of like what we're going to go through in Housewives world, you know.
Do you think the timing doesn't necessarily were like sort of too late in the chapters for a new franchise, or does it the idea of thinking about the history of Housewives with the timing of this announcement, do you think it lands?
I think it's opposite. I think it's like we're in a new era of Housewives. Great. Like
got it.
With Potomac being as good as it is right now and like we're seeing like Salt Lake is like getting up there. Like I feel like we're new era. We're figuring out like where we are. Like we maybe don't need Dallas right now. That's okay. Miami's being rebooted. We're figuring out like as an audience what we need. And I think that's like an interesting space to be.
I also think there's definitely going to be some tension when it comes to like Peacock exclusive franchises and then franchises that air on TV. And I would love to explore that because there's nothing better than hearing about a little bit of a rivalry between different wives on different cities. And the best way to do that is to say, you're just on the app, you know, like I think that that could be because the women on Miami are historically a little, communicative. So I think this could be fascinating just even to watch the press for it.
Well, especially because Peacock isn't like an HBO Max where
it's really not.
It's not really a destination at all. Although Kyle Richards is doing her damnedest to make it
with like four shows
on Peacock.
I have never actually seen, I don't think, a Lifetime I do remember when I was younger seeing Kirsten Dunst in like 16 and Pregnant. And I was like around that age maybe during that time. Like I remember seeing some sort of like Lifetime movie about a pregnancy during high school thing. But I've never seen like the other Lifetime movies for women, which I know is different from what she's doing. I've also never seen a Christmas Lifetime movie because, you know, sad Jew on
right. So,
like,
exactly.
I'm not necessarily the demographic, but I guess it'll be my first of both because it's not like a Lifetime. Well, why am I thinking it's like Lifetime television because for women?
I think Hallmark was the first one that really did the Christmas movies. And then Lifetime was like, oh, let's get in on this too. And then they've kind of both been doing that for a number of years.
Everyone's doing it. Like, I watched, like, there were a bunch of gay ones last year that I watched. Like, there was one with, like, Fran Drescher as a mom and, like, that I enjoyed. But, I mean, even the Hulu one, what was it called?
Happiest Season.
Oh, I did watch
Happiest
that one.
Happiest Season, yeah. Like,
yeah.
So everyone's getting in there. And
well, that's a more elevated, but yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, like, felt like a... That had like a real movie vibe.
Yeah,
it
definitely
didn't feel like a made for TV kind of thing, which maybe you want, maybe you don't. Maybe you want to feel like it's cheap and whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
But I think to your point about like how Peacock will become like this like sticking point as far as like there's different like you're up here, I'm down here things. I think that is what Dan alluded to in Dubai when Melbourne met Beverly Hills. That kind of thing probably happened. It was like
for
Beverly Hills girls were probably like, we're on Bravo and you're on what?
I mean, I think that there were probably elements of that at Andy's baby shower too.
Yeah.
With like the newer franchises or newer housewives being like, hi, we're here too.
Oh, for sure.
But maybe that was a little bit more of like, I'm such a fan kind of energy, which can be good or bad. But if there is a transition taking place generationally mm-hmm. within Housewives, look at how fucking well Salt Lake City is doing. And some of these older franchises are lagging a little bit. It could create an interesting power dynamic where some of these newer ones end up having a little bit more value to viewers than some of the OG cities, if not people.
Well, it's probably more valuable to Bravo for to start these newer cities because the paychecks aren't as high as
that's such
someone
point.
Who's around for 10 years that you have to pay definitely in the six figures. And like, who knows who's getting close to a million, like Anini Leaks and so on.
Think of like any time like recently Ramona has met any housewife who came behind her. And I'm thinking of, I was at BravoCon, obviously, and I went to the Watch What Happens Live taping, and they did the full game that it was like housewives confronting housewives from other cities. And I'm thinking of her meeting Giselle, and Giselle now is pulling in more viewers than Ramona is on her show. Like, what are the ratings from Potomac compared to New York?
Oh, yeah, it's better. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was supposed to be at that Hamptons event. I'm so upset. Oh my God. I was supposed to be there, and I canceled day of because I wasn't feeling well. And it was at the thing where, and you know, I would have had some thoughts watching Ramona absolutely brush off Giselle with every fiber of her being.
I know. And also, thank you to Louis Peitzman, who gave me his Watch What Happens Live ticket that weekend.
Okay. Oh, that's so nice of him. Shout out Louis Peitzman, who had a great article in Vulture several weeks ago. I forget when it was. It could have been yesterday, but also could have been like 2.5 months ago, about Erica Jane, that is worthy of people reading. It was really good. Listen, guys, on Come Through Queen, on the Come Through Queen Patreon, you recently did a rank.
Yeah.
You recently did a ranking of, I mean, it's called the Come Through Queen Ultimate Ranking. Yep. Was it a list of all of the housewives?
Yeah.
So Dan, explain how we did this.
Yeah, because I kind of cooked up the methodology in my head.
Okay, yeah.
So what we did was we started months and months ago, maybe like 8 or 9 months ago, going city by city in order of the city's release, ranking the women who've been on each show first against each other. So, and it's kind of like, it's not who our favorite is. It's like we want to be friends with them. It's more so who's good for the show, who's iconic, who's been impactful. And obviously some terrible people have been iconic and impactful. So
exactly.
Yeah. Like who's the most valuable?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we went city by city. And then finally, once all the cities were ranked individually, we had to combine the rankings. And the way we did it was that someone from the top of each list had to be number one. And then we just kind of go down picking from whoever's number one, like eliminating one by one through all 125 women.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So it kind of became like a game when we were like going through our ranking. Cause we were like, I was like, well, this person from Potomac, I need her to be in the mix before we get to like so-and-so from New York or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, could someone potentially make the argument? I'm not even saying this is true, even though I actually, while saying it out loud, do believe and would argue to the death that it is, that there are certain number ones from franchises who would never make the top 10, and there are other franchises that might have three number ones.
Oh, for sure. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that kind of played out.
Yeah. Our top 10 does not include a Dallas woman, does not include a Salt Lake City woman, does not include DC or Miami.
Definitely not.
But does have representation from six of the cities, I believe.
Yeah.
Can we run through
them? Yeah, sure.
Because I want to get
your thoughts. Let's go.
Yeah.
Okay, let's start. Should we start with one or start with
ten? Let's do ten.
Okay.
Great. Coming in at number 10 on the list of the Come Through Queen Ultimate Ranking, which, guys, you can get on the Come Through Queen Patreon. Mm-hmm. Number 10, Sonia Morgan.
Yes. So I want to just preface this by saying Ramona is number 11, because that's going to be the obvious question when you hear Sonia being at number 10 is, where is Ramona?
Oh, and Ramona's not on the top 10. Wow. So what was the deciding factor in Sonia being more valuable than Ramona?
I think when we had the New York conversation, we talked about, like, even though Ramona's been a part of the program for so long mm-hmm. and important for the program for so long. Sonia, in some ways, in a few ways, is more iconic. I mean, there's just more interesting mm-hmm. things about her, like the townhouse, the J.P. mm-hmm. Morgan, the mm-hmm. coming in the middle of season three and kind of feeling like she's always been here.
Yeah, which is mm-hmm. never... Yeah, she feels like an OG, and she's not an OG.
Yeah, so it's very close between the two of them, but I... And the Sonya storylines are a little bit more interesting, like the toaster, and I don't know. Just there's a bunch of small things that kind of eked Sonya out for me.
And for me, it's like Sonya, like, will get into the mix and be friends with people who... Well, where Ramona will, like, step away. So mm-hmm. even this past season where... It was like a bad season, guys. But Sonya
was to me arguably the worst season of any franchise of all time.
Yeah, but Sonya was willing to like get in there, especially with like Ebony, and like go to Philadelphia and like do the matchmaking thing and like all that kind of stuff. And for me, that ekes her up ahead of Ramona. Definitely. Yeah.
I love that. And Ramona's, you know, starting to be a fake real estate agent.
Yeah. And it's like now it's like recording videos to like endorse like people from Staten Island for like city comptroller or whatever.
That's so
she's doing
weird.
Oh, she's a gem. Okay. Coming in at number nine. This was honestly really surprising to me.
No.
Karen Huger.
Mm.
I just want to know. I'm not saying I disagree with it. I'm just saying I was surprised.
Well,
tell me.
Can I say, when we did our Potomac ranking, we put Karen and Giselle as a tie because we didn't know like where we would decide. And while we were doing the ranking, I was saying, and because I'm like kind of like a space cadet and like on another like on another planet, I was like, Karen and Giselle might be our one and two. Like,
that's
was willing
crazy.
To put them one and two. I was willing.
Yeah.
And I would stand behind it. But to me, Karen and Giselle are the two best players who ever did the game. The fact that they will... I know. I saw your face.
And my mouth is wide open.
The fact that they can like fight so hard, but then also like be laughing in the back of that bus together. Like it's, there is something about them that I'm like, something always brings me back to them, to quote Sarah Bareilles. But like, I just can't get over them. I love them so much. I think they are the future of this franchise.
Yeah.
Wow. I find that fascinating. I also have to say that when it comes to casting, this is why it's so helpful to have women who have been frenemies for, mm-hmm. let's say, a decade prior.
Yeah.
How the, you know, cookie bake. Like,
exactly.
I always think about that in my head. They have gotten used to being sarcastic and kind of like, you know, giving those digs to each other IRL to such an extent that there is a little bit of a built-in camaraderie regardless of what they say in the press, you know?
And I will say, Dan and I, like, we discussed this on our pod. We were very worried going into, like, the first episodes of Potomac where we – I was, like, scared when they went to the dinner at Wendy's house and they were prepared to, like, destroy each other. And then I was, like – heartened when Karen ended up being on the Bravo chat room. I was like, okay, they realize what's going on here, that they need each other.
Yeah.
And it looks like, according to the reunion trailer, Karen, like they share some emotional moments.
And they cry together.
Think.
Yeah.
I think, right? Mm-hmm. Unless that's the edit. And like, I don't even trust the edit at this point, but I would love to see them, you know, talk more about their bond and like their, regardless of what they're saying or doing to each other, the fact that they do care about each other.
Yeah.
You know, Karen doesn't want to see Giselle made a fool of,
yeah.
you know, by whomever she's dating for real or for play. Like, I think that's important.
And Giselle looks so good at Karen's vow renewal. I texted Dan and it went ignored when I was texting about how good Giselle looked.
She is one of the most beautiful housewives of all time.
I'm weirdly obsessed with her. I know. We can stop talking about her until we get to her.
Yeah, please.
No, I love that. Okay, coming in at number eight, Portia Williams.
Yeah, I mean, you know what an icon she is. And I think she has the best trajectory of like where she started to where she ended.
Yeah.
Very memorable, very... I feel like she has become like a name that people know, even like like a Nene or Bethany or Teresa. And I'm excited about the new show. And then I at first I didn't love the Real Houses of Atlanta, Porsche's Family Matters branding, but then I like it because it opens or keeps the door open of her returning.
Yep.
Yes.
That's what we discussed last week. Yeah. I loved it because I was like, we need a future with Porsche.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how I felt about the trailer, to be honest, but I just want to keep her on Bravo. So whatever keeps her happy, I'm kind of okay with. Coming in at number 7, Kyle Richards, preceded by at number 6, LVP.
Yeah.
Well,
tell me.
I will
tell
say, me. I think we discussed this, Dan. I think we said before... We've recorded this over months and months and months, opinions are always changing. I think we said this might have been our one, maybe we didn't need LVP this high, and we would switch. And keep me honest.
Well, no, I think like, so this list is a moment in time of 2021, how we feel right now. And there's a world where LVP's star is fading and Kyle's is
rising.
Brightening.
Wow.
And this might be rising, stars rising. This just might be the point where like they're right next to each other and about to flip positions. But
and I think our reasoning is like, I mean, Vanderpump Rules was a moment for however many seasons. Like it was, I wrote a Vanity Fair piece where I called it the best show on television at one point in 2016.
I'm sure I read that piece.
Yeah, I did an interview with LVP. But, I mean, like, she definitely did something and, like, took her Bravo career to another level that not a lot of other people have been able to. But I will say, I mean, she's not really proving it anymore because, like, what she got going now?
Yeah, the dogs show is not – no one's talking about the dog show.
Did that come out?
Yeah,
on Peacock.
I had no idea. Yeah. I had no idea that came out.
And then the show where she hosted like Heather Dubrow at her house came out. I watched every episode. Trixie Mattel was also part of that.
Yeah, no one's talking about that.
Oh, Toasted? What was that called?
It was called
Tipsy? Overserved?
Overserved.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. Okay, continuing on, I'm going to do these in pairs now. Yeah. Number 5, Bethany Frankel. Number 4, Giselle. I'm sorry. It's so chaotic.
You want to know how hard I fought for Giselle at number 4? And that is my proudest. That is my proudest placement.
Oh my God, I almost can't disagree. But again, this might be the nap. I don't know. I'm very discombobulated. So how does Giselle come out on?
Giselle is the future. Bethany's the past.
Okay, well, so Giselle, at least when Giselle compared to Karen, they were tied for their cities ranking. But then in the bigger picture of like Housewives, Giselle... getting that Bravo chat room slide and just everyone loves her.
Including me.
She's so beautiful.
She's so beautiful.
How many times can we talk about how pretty Giselle is? Like, it's actually ridiculous.
I know.
She's just so pretty, guys.
She's the full package. Yeah. And she's not leaving Bravo in the dust anytime soon. She will be with us for a while, I feel. Whereas I think we talked about this in our entire ranking. I'm bitter about Bethany leaving us in our moment of need.
I am bitter about the shit that Bethany said about Bravo, shitting on it while publicizing her shitty show on HBO Max. Mm-hmm. One of the worst reality TV show contest style shows that I have ever seen. Absolutely.
Or one of the best.
Her just being like, you like socks? You're fired. She just wanders around a rented house complaining about how people don't like respect her and how she's better than everyone.
I gotta say, I kind of liked it because have you ever seen a reality show competition with less of a format? No, just chaos reigned on the set of that show.
We don't even
because
remember the name.
Know
the Big
that
Shot.
She
it was
beat
called the Big
them
Shot.
Down. Right. That's like it's she beat that she beat production. She was like, I know it all. You don't understand who I am, Mark Burnett. Like, I am the queen of unscripted reality TV to the guy who's like literally created literally every good reality TV contest
and
in
the
entirety of reality television.
And I will say I recently rewatched parts of season 7 of Roni, and I feel like when that aired, we thought like Bethany was like a fucking genius. And looking back, it's like, it's bad. And we need to say
that
it's bad.
I didn't think she would. Wait a second. When that came out, I was still a recovering Bethany Superstan, and she lost me over the course of season 7, if I'm remembering correctly, because she was so mean.
Yeah, but I feel like the general public, and maybe I was part of the general public at that point.
Yeah.
I'm a reformed general public person. But now she's, it's like, it's psychotic.
Yeah, she was. It was very much like, I'm up here, you're down. That was the energy I was getting. And but, like, don't make me empathize with Ramona. Mm. God forbid.
But I mean, the reason she's this high in our ranking, which we're talking about, is that she is iconic, but she's not as iconic as my favorite girl.
Oh my God.
This is going to be, oh my God. Guys, comment on the post on Instagram about this episode, because I am so obsessed with this. Okay, and 3 and 2, Tamra Judge coming in at number 3, and at number 2, Lanithia Lee.
So I think the top 3 are really the most 3 important in like different ways. Like,
that's why they're the top 3.
Yeah, it's but like I think the top 5 and the top 3 are different, because like the top 3 I have like strong things to say about each one. Number 3, Tamra is actually the person who invented how to be a real housewife.
She invented it. She
really did.
It's in the book. I'm reading the book. It's a long book. So
well, if it's
like,
in the book, it's got to be true. But she really
like,
did.
Yeah, the producers in the book say that she invented it. But like, we had that thought before it was in print.
That's true.
And you know, like, she played the game for so long, and it's got to be hard to play the game for that long and like come up with new tricks. And we were all like, get rid of her. Enough is enough. Like, get rid of her. And now here we are, clowns, begging for her return.
My biggest regret.
And like, begging for her return so much that I feel like there was a cast list for Ultimate Girlship 2 that did not originally include Tamra. And then eventually she was added on last minute.
She wiggled in.
Yeah.
I mean, you're selling it. You're selling her at number 3. Number 2, Nene Leakes.
I mean, Nene Leakes is a person that is on number 1 of many lists, deservedly. However, I think we consider like a lot of different things, including someone's tenure on the show. And the only reason she's not number 1 is that like she just stopped giving a shit for the last like few seasons and forgot that we are here together making a TV show. So you can't like shut down when certain people are in the room and leave us with no scenes. But besides that, icon, legend, meme, you ask someone who's a Real Housewife, they're going to say Nene Leakes.
Yeah. That was the crux of our conversation, I feel like, was trying to decide between Teresa, sorry to spoil number 1, and Nene. And the reason,
how dare you with my dramatic buildup?
But the reason Teresa got it was because Real Housewives of New Jersey has never existed without Teresa, and they shut down production when Teresa was in prison. It cannot, as we see it now, exist without Teresa, where Atlanta has existed for several seasons without Nene. So that, I think, was our reasoning as far as like putting Teresa number 1. I've gotten angry texts from coworkers asking why Teresa was number 1. And it's the tenure. It is like, can the show exist? No. Like, they did specials about Teresa, like, where they were
Teresa
responding.
Checks in.
Yeah, Teresa checks in, and then, like, it's crazy. So, yeah, that's the reason.
I'm just thinking about the fact that the name of that was Teresa checks in. It has so many meanings. It's so dark. It's so stupid. It's literally like Teresa's going to call her family on occasion from jail. Let's give her 5 episodes. But, like, yeah, of course you. Of course you would.
Yeah.
Of course, this is not favorite housewife.
Yeah.
This is most valuable housewife.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, in other forms of other jobs, you might face some sort of something for going to prison. Yeah. And Teresa, it's an absolute career accomplishment. Yeah.
What's interesting with Teresa, especially compared to Tamara, is like what we are appreciating with Tamara is her calculatedness and her thought in what she brings to this. What's amazing with Teresa is it's truly no thought. It is just a beautiful accident that she landed on our television screen and is whatever it is she is.
Oh my God. You just said there's no thought.
There is no thought. Like,
but no, there is no thought.
I will say our list is very, very us, very come through queen, very Dan and Brendan in a way that's like truly psycho. You should hear my argument for where me like arguing to switch Kenya and Kim Richards at some point in the full ranking that I came to like 30 minutes after we had already ranked them. Just like psychotic behavior. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is also, you know, there's the idea of respect your villains, and there's the also the idea that you never know who you're going to love.
Mm-hmm.
And during season, what, 3, 4, 5? No, not 5. 3, 4 of Jersey. Three, four, whatever, of Jersey. I could not have despised Teresa, Judice more. I hated her. I hated what she did to her family. I thought she was a terrible person. Yeah. The way that she was manipulating her brother and her parents against her brother, that was terrible. And now I think of her and I'm like, oh my God, I love her so much. Like, sing Dua Lipa more. Like, babe, I love you.
And I think also, like, the Sutton of it all. So we didn't rank Sutton because we started it before Sutton joined as a full-time housewife, which is interesting. No, but I mean, what you're saying, I mean, like, the way people thought of Sutton at the beginning of this season of Beverly Hills and the way people think of Sutton now, it's like everyone's done a full 180, not to bring it back to Dua Lipa, but...
I also have to say shout out to you for the Vicky Gumbelson erasure.
She's like...
She's like 64. No,
she's definitely...
She's like top 20.
12?
Yeah, top 20. She's probably like 13 or something.
Some people would say she should be in the top yada yada.
I know, but...
Closer to number one.
For me, she never did it. Like, no, I think Tamara was the real start of OC. Like she made Housewives what it is.
Okay, so we actually do have Heather Dubrow at 13. And
yeah,
then,
my favorite number.
And then Vicky is 15. Because Heather Dubrow, we look back fondly on the Heather Dubrow years, and she changed the game of OC. And the fact that she's coming back, hello, deserves to be higher than Vicky.
I cannot believe you put Heather ahead of Vicky, but I love it. I don't think I'm that brave. I'm that brave, but I love that you are making moves. Speaking of making moves, so guys, you need to check out the Come Through Queen Patreon to hear many, many months of content relating to this list.
Psychotic
Lord
content.
Knows I want to hear my favorite hello and welcome to Annie's Girls. I do want to transition a little bit to the franchises that are currently on air, some of whom... we've discussed. Sure. I mean, Giselle is your number one. What were your thoughts on the Potomac finale and your hopes for the reunion based on the trailer and, you know, Just a Dream?
Well, Giselle looked gorgeous walking to the wedding.
Needless to say, or necessary to say in Brendan's case.
I mean, like, I've mostly identified as like a gay man since I was like 19, but like Giselle, like, on, like, I honestly, like, am
Are
so enamored.
Are you sexually attracted to Giselle?
I'm so enamored by her, like, in a way, like, I don't know. Anyways.
I don't know where you were going with that. Like, I love this, though. I love that you love her. I love from in whatever way.
I love her, like, everything about her. Her relationship with her kids is so fun. It's the best part of the show. I love everything about Giselle. I like, never stop thinking about her. I just want happiness for her. I feel like she could find like a really good man. Mm. And I feel like she walked into that wedding and she looked like she did season one. Like she has like a look that like works for her, and I love her. Mm.
Yeah.
You're the only person in history who's ever said that Giselle has a look that works for her. And again, I love this. No, but I absolutely love it. And that's what's so humbling about Giselle is that you can never feel like jealous of how beautiful she is or hold it against her because her style is what it is. It's
I know, but like the style at the wedding, that's the style she needs to go for.
Okay.
You know? Into it. Dan, what were your thoughts on the finale, this beautiful renewal on a staircase?
You know, the finale, the wedding itself, I think could have used a different direction. The climbing up and down the steps didn't make a lot of sense to me. There was not a lot of thought put into that. You know, there was a lot of beautiful decorations, but then parts of it felt bare. Like if a certain angle of the camera, you'd be like, am I in an empty room right now?
Yeah.
In terms of just the finale overall, I kind of think we just need to get to the reunion at this point, which is usually my feelings on a finale, unless a finale ends in an explosive way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the Michael v. Chris of it all is one of those things that it's just never going to get resolved because Michael Darby's enjoying it too much. Like, what is the goal at this point, do you think, from the perspective of Michael or Chris or Ashley and Candy?
It was interesting because Chris seemed like he was angry, but also that he wanted to resolve it. And then Candace kind of ruined the chance of resolving it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I just don't get why we are, like, spending time with these men. Not Chris. Chris has been around all season, but Michael and Juan, who have not really been in the group setting this entire season. So, like, why is the finale focused on the two of their, like, issues from the last season's finale?
Yeah, that's a really good point. Especially, you know, that's a conversation that I got into with Roxanne Gay on AG when she had a feeling about the House Husbands on New Jersey and was like, this isn't their show. Like, why are we focused so much on the spouses when this is really a show about women? And from that perspective, I mean, I could understand that. There is also the idea that Michael hasn't been around because he hasn't wanted to, aka Ashley hasn't wanted him to be a part of this. So maybe they felt like while he's here, we're going to get as much of this as we can. But yeah, I don't disagree with you. I don't know quite how to react to
it. I kind of even like going on Roxanne's like perspective, it's like even weirder in Potomac to like focus on the men, because at least in Jersey, like, you get a lot of like scenes with just the men, but in Potomac literally we're like dealing with men who haven't been around all season with Juan and Michael. So it's like, it's so weird. I don't get it.
It is also like a little bit of a reversal because you look at Michael Darby, who has no interest in being any kind of like emotionally mature or doing anything even in support of his wife to make things easier. Mm-hmm. He just always wants to make it worse. And you look at Candace, who gets angry at her husband for essentially saying, let's just move forward because there's nothing good that comes from just being stuck in this place of despising someone. And then you look at Chris and Ashley, who seem to have the same perspective of like, let's just move on from this. And it is kind of interesting to watch the similarities and differences in how these couples are reacting to each other, because it's not comparable on the sides of the husbands and the wives, right. You know?
Yeah.
Ooh, Karen was so messy putting them at the same table when there were two different housewives tables.
How many people were there? Were there 10 people there or 70? I couldn't figure it out.
The fact that Bershon got the invite, though, it's like she wasn't even getting an invite to most of the Roni events this year. The cast that she was actually on.
And she was, how do they know each other? Do we know?
I think that sometimes a friend of or like a guest like comes on and then like makes the rounds. And like, so like we went to the Ronj baseball game at the Brooklyn Cyclone Stadium, and they were filming for Real Housewives in New Jersey, which will air.
Yeah.
And Bershon was there, and also like Meredith Marks was there.
Meredith Marks is maybe a New York City resident.
Yes, exactly. And for her to be like that far into Brooklyn, it's also like, what?
Tough, yeah.
But it was very interesting. But I think like certain housewives invite certain people to different things, and it becomes a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I am very into Meredith Marks literally being like Meredith Marks is literally everywhere all the time as long as it is outside of Utah state lines.
I know.
And I am fascinated by it. It's interesting to see the ways that people kind of react to the housewives of it all. But also she's running a significant business. So mm-hmm. it makes sense from like a jewelry, celebrity jewelry perspective. Like be everywhere. Get all that sure. PR. Like do it.
And Brooks is there too. And then also, like, I love Chloe being in the mix now. Chloe's won two scenes this week.
And how do we feel about those dynamics on SLC?
I will say I did love the scene between the mothers and daughters. So, like, when Meredith and Heather had their daughter's lunch with the falafel waffle. Mm.
With the falafel waffle. Did we ever get a review of that falafel waffle, no. by the way? Wow.
Yeah. I don't, the Heather stuff, like... Heather scenes are really boring me this season. I'm sorry to say. I like when Jen came over and they were doing the antics with like dildos in their head or whatever. Mm. I was almost taking a nap during that part.
Okay.
But
maybe that's what caused me to nod
yeah,
off.
But
maybe that's what it
but
was.
The Lisa scenes invigorate me.
Okay.
So do you think that the Cameron stuff was planned to make sure to have
course,
a former member of Mary's church who is like maybe a pastor or preacher or something. Who,
I could see the I could see the scene blocking happening with like them bringing Lisa away yes. with the photographer. Are you kidding me? It was like rehearsed.
Which I'm not sure if you saw, but that man has passed away since filming this.
I know. I was looking at this is how depressing I am. I was like looking up his obit because I was trying to figure out what happened. He was 33 years old.
33?
I think so. I read a couple of them. I think he was 30 and he said he mentioned on and he was incredibly accomplished and was like chairs of all of these boards yeah. and like very much interested in supporting the community.
I think
and
he works like at Equality Utah or like he does work with Equality Utah, like the LGBTQ stuff.
I think he
stuff.
Was on the board of something.
Yeah.
Because they acknowledged his past. It's very tragic. I don't know what the circumstances were, but it is also an odd thing to see someone who's going to play a major role in this to know that he's very terribly and seemingly suddenly passed away. And also, like, I know that Mary is a woman of God or whatever, but I am terrified of what she's going to say about
so
that.
So I follow this one guy on Twitter who seems to, like, be close with a few of the Salt Lake ladies, in particular Heather Gay. And he responded okay. to a tweet about the passing saying, "Complications after brain surgery, so sad."
Oh my God, brain surgery. Yeah.
So not confirmed, but like I he hangs out with Heather, so I would think he's not just making things up, but who knows.
Yeah, and that's so specific. And as we all know with the internet, if someone's specific, they must be you know, must be right. But like that's just so sad. It's just so unfortunate because it's like, God forbid anybody on Team Mary pushes back. It's like, okay, cool. But yeah. like, he's also no longer with us. So let's mm-hmm. attempt to be respectful, she says, about the Bravo community.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw... what's her face? Whitney on Watch What Happens Live. But it appears that we are not done with filming with him because she and him have a scene together. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah, I think I saw a preview of that in some way. I haven't seen that Watch What Happens episode, but I want to. But there's some sort of preview of him like sitting down. I forget who he's with, but I think it's like diving deeper into the Mary factor.
Yeah.
What do you think changed in Lisa's strategy or perspective that would lead her to want to go down this path knowing it could be, you know, a difficult journey?
You mean just bringing up the stuff with Mary?
Yeah.
I don't know her motivations, but she's so different from season one, where in season one she was almost friend of behavior in terms of not super involved in anything. And this season she's so involved in everything. Like hyper producing stuff, which I don't really mind. But
she's definitely serving producer.
Yes.
Also, there was an extra Angie. Did you notice? There was a brunette Angie, which is a very confusing thing if we're doing friend of.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I was like, wait, was that the same woman from the photo shoot? And then I was thinking too much about this second Angie, who I felt like we were supposed to know because we saw that her name was Angie, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of lost my place in the shuffle. Yeah. Who do you think is the most valuable Salt Lake housewife? Not favorite, but valuable.
So we did rank Heather higher originally just because of the way
she... We based it on season one.
Yeah.
But now, for you guys,
I feel
now.
Like Lisa would probably eke her out. I want to see how the rest of the season plays out. But we know that she cast the show, number one. And now that she's taking a more active role in putting on a show, I think that adds value.
That's a really
good way of putting it.
I don't know. Something in me says Meredith could be up there too. Am I being psycho?
No, I think Meredith honestly has the hearts of so many devotees. And the way that she is just going to engage, for lack of a better term, with the Jen Shah of it all, just in the sense of being like, I am not to blame for your numerous felonies, is going to be fascinating.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Yeah.
They said that one of the best Housewives episodes is to come. Andy said that. And we heard, Dan and I heard, that it involves Meredith.
Yeah.
So, I mean, next week we see the van. I assume they'll do Fade to Black at the end of... At the end of this coming Salt Lake Fade to Black. The week after that, so in two episodes, Andy says that's one of the best Housewives episodes of all time. I think that is going to be the full explosion of the police and FBI. And where's Jen? And are we still going to Vail? And I don't know where Meredith fits into that. Mm-hmm. But do you think she had... This is like this. This is like the sad, angry cousin of the did Erica know? But like, is there any world in which Meredith somehow had a contact who told her this was coming and that's why she wasn't on the van?
I don't know. I feel like anything with Meredith to come that will be like explosive. It's just her like trying to suss out her friendship with Jen in a way. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It feels insane to think that she might have no... I don't know how she could have. I don't know what contact she would have had. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I mean, like, Coach Shaw was given a heads up. That's how Jen was able to...
Get away.
Skadoodle in the way that she was. So I guess there are sources everywhere. I mean, Lord knows he was an attorney. So it would make sense that he has... people in Salt Lake who would want to give him a heads up when it comes to impending legal concerns.
Ultimately, someone had to inform the authorities as to where she would be. Because this isn't Jen Shah's office or home.
Right.
So I'm curious, it could be like someone on production. It could be a family member. It could be a friend. Mm-hmm. There's just so many possibilities. But obviously, Meredith Marks is a possibility, but it doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to me that it would be her.
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't make any sense to me. And I also am like, I don't want to seem like I'm any close to being near the bucket of like, Meredith did something, because I don't think that she did. And if she did, which I don't believe, it has nothing to do with like what Jen did, which is the actual crux here.
I think whatever someone did would be merely revealing her location at a time, because they've been investigating and prosecuting other conspirators and creators of this scheme. Mm-hmm. So it's not like Meredith Marks like stomped over to FBI headquarters and said like, here you go, guys.
She stomped over.
Yeah, she stomped with Brooks and Dell.
Wearing Meredith Marks, wearing a tracksuit.
Wait, I have a question.
Tell me.
What are you feeling about Jenny and her husband?
I'm hoping it's an act for the show. I'm hoping in some way that she's doing this for story. I just don't know that I believe that, and I think it's super depressing regardless. Like, I would
either
hope for the sake that it wasn't real, but then why are we talking about, like, is there nothing else to have tension over, and it just feels really gross. Like,
agreed.
I don't know. This is a terrible comparison, and I truly don't believe it as I say it out loud. Mm-hmm. But there's something about Juan pushing Robin to have a baby when she's told him repeatedly that that is not something she wants to do. And he mm-hmm. seems to really continue to impress upon her his desire for it to happen, which means that she should feel the same. And it's not in any way comparable, but there is an element here with Jenny's husband where it's like, why does your wife's perspective not matter, especially when it comes to the danger of carrying a baby mm-hmm. physically, like based on her, but even regardless of that, if they did a surrogacy or adoption, she doesn't want to do this. Why doesn't that matter? That she really doesn't want to do
With Juan and Robin, it feels like two people who are having a natural conversation with perhaps differing viewpoints. Whereas the Jenny and Dewey thing, either it's just so psychotic if it's real, or also mm-hmm. so psychotic that you would choose this to be your storyline if it's not real, that either way, it's not working for me to be right, on this like program.
Jenny is like talking and detailing her like experience with birth in a way that's like so much more intense than what Robin and Juan are talking about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I also like, I don't know, being a woman of a certain age, spiritually in my mid-20s, I was looking at this Instagram for this content creator who I really enjoy, who does like wellness stuff and discusses parenting, and Rachel Mansfield on Instagram. And I just honestly really enjoy mm-hmm. her. She just seems like a really positive force. And she has talked about her experiences and difficulty with fertility and shared her birth stories, both of which I've read. I found really interesting. And she's also, people have asked her a couple times in Instagram things like, what should I do if my partner is interested in, you know, adding to the family and I am not, blah, blah, blah. And she has said something along the lines of like, and this changes for everybody. Everybody has, this is just her opinion, but her opinion was like, I do believe that at a certain point, you know, if you want to have kids and mm-hmm. if you don't want to have kids, you shouldn't have mm-hmm. them. And I thought that was really solid counsel. And there's the idea that you can change your mind. You can say, I don't want to have kids. And then you meet someone or you meet a new part of yourself and say, I want to take this journey in a way that I didn't before. But I do think that there is also a guttural idea that some people really do know that they want to have kids and some people really do know that they don't, and either perspective is okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But when you're in a partnership, I don't know how that works when it comes to adding to your family if you already have children.
Yeah.
Because there's, I don't know, I don't, it, it, if you're in a, if you have, if you're fortunate enough to have a partner, to have a spouse, and you guys are at diametrically opposing fields, it doesn't feel like the middle ground is like adding in another wife.
I mean, with, I think what you just said made me think of the fact that if there is a spectrum of, I do not want to have a child and I do want to have a child.
Yeah.
Jenny would be all the way at the end of, I do not want to have a child. Robin is probably somewhere in the middle. Juan is probably somewhere in the middle. And then Dewey's on the other side of like, I must have a child or I'm going to explode.
Yeah, I feel like Juan's stuff has a lot to do with the fact that he wasn't as present physically because he was in the NBA, traveling, and he felt like, I wasn't that present parent when I was younger and I want to be able to start over now, which... that's his own opinion. It's his perspective. And Dewey's is like, I must have this. Like, I'm not saying you owe it to me, but I am saying that you owe it to me mm-hmm. or that the situation dictates that because we had this terrible tragedy, that hole can only be filled by another child. And I don't know. Trauma doesn't work that way. I just don't think it does. That's not how you
especially
heal.
Especially, it would be one thing if that incident was the final attempt at children. Mm. But I believe they said that they had the first oldest kid that is the same age as Lisa's older kid. Then the stillbirth mm-hmm. was right after that. And then they subsequently had two more children. So I, like, to me, it's like, what, when I can't just keep having kids forever to make you feel better about that bad incident,
right?
You know, just timeline wise.
And for someone who has undergone so many lost pregnancies, so many miscarriages, yeah. that is so traumatic. And it doesn't mean that he didn't feel a certain way during it. But I just think also, like, listen to your fucking yeah. life, guy. Like,
yeah, he comes across bad.
He comes across bad. And there's an element of it where I'm like, I don't know that it's real. And I don't know if that's based on my hope for yeah. her or what. Because it just does. It feels like Disney villain a little mm-hmm. bit.
Yeah.
Well, it's always when they film something is one thing, but then to go back and do a confessional reiterating your craziness is a whole nother level.
Yeah, psycho.
I don't know. I'm not a parent. Yeah. I'm very, very close to the spectrum of, like, I really don't mm-hmm. want kids. And a lot of that is related to trauma that I've experienced where I'm mm-hmm. like, I have no interest in any way thinking about bringing another person into this world and knowing what can mm-hmm. happen. And God bless anyone who wants to be a parent. I love that. I love kids. I'm a retired nanny. I was a live-in nanny for several years, nanny for other families in New York. I love, love, love kids. But
I need the
I
podcast
just
about you being
one.
A live-in nanny, by the way.
Mm. Oh, I live-in nanny who politely declined signing NDAs, but I signed one in my soul. Yeah, I did. But I signed one in my soul. So, like, ethically, I would yeah. never, share any information because it's not my. This is the whole thing. At the end of the day, I've always yeah. felt like. And also, like, daughter of an attorney. But, like, I've always felt like that's not my information sure. to share. Like, regardless of me. And also, I can still be held liable, certainly. But mm-hmm. I just have – that's – it's not even actually related to that, although there is a certain kind of experience of, like, being a live-in nanny mm-hmm. where, mm-hmm. you know, the things that you have access to. But just the idea that, like, I'm very extremely comfortable – knowing that is probably not mm-hmm. for me. Like, I am so comfortable with that. And then mm-hmm. I look at someone like Jenny, who is a loving parent, who loves to be a mom, and Dewey apparently loves to be a dad, and they have science Saturdays and everything else. And I'm like, I don't know. They have gone through something horrifying, yeah. something horrific. And I just wonder how much of him wanting another child is because... You know, as she says, she was under incredible drugs at that point, anesthesia, whatever else, and did not see what he saw. And I think he is carrying with him an enormous trauma from that. And I just think his way to say this is not how my story is ending here is to fill that with a child. It just,
oh,
I don't
see,
think that's
I see
how it's going to go.
Oh, I get what you mean. It's like he like felt bad after the last situation they were in. So he wants to make good by having another child is what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, I think he feels like we were, so, regardless of how many, and I don't know the order mm-hmm. of things happening. And it's also much, very complicated by the fact that she had so yeah. many miscarriages. Mm-hmm. So it's just compounding trauma on top of trauma, and grief, rather, maybe is the mm-hmm. better word to use. But I do think if he was present and saw all these things, saw all the doctors in the room and the medical personnel, saw how terribly sad and upsetting this was to go through it in the moment, that he is probably thinking, regardless of the birth order, yeah. regardless of what happened in what order, there should be another child here, and I right. cannot let go yeah. of that. And I think that has a lot to do with the trauma and the grief related to that experience. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that having another child is going to give him what he's looking for that he couldn't find in yeah. other ways.
Right.
I don't know. What do you think of Jenny, slightly switching gears, as a housewife?
I feel like she's being overshadowed by this storyline in a lot of ways. And like, it's like, mm-hmm. it's a little too, it's like pretty dark. And mm-hmm. I feel like we're not really getting to see her enough with the other girlies, yeah. which I would love to mm-hmm. see.
Yeah. I bet you it was between Jenny and Angie in terms of who's actually holding mm-hmm. a snowflake. Because I think a lot of times the reason why we get so much family storyline with new women is because they're filling in the blanks for when they could have potentially been a friend of.
That's such a good point. And I wonder, I mean, do we know why Angie wasn't? It feels like she would have been such a good fit. Because
Lisa said so, baby. And what Lisa says goes.
Lisa said, no,
no love.
I do want to shift. We're just shifting gears all over the place. I'm very into this. Let's talk about BH. Part three. Do you feel like your questions, any questions that you wanted asked of Erica or anyone else, do you feel like they're being answered?
I think the thing I'm most excited for is what was teased in the trailer and we're getting next week, her actually getting caught in something she's not supposed to be saying. Because that's what's interesting is when something happens at the reunion that is like off script with her, when Andy asks her, well, what did you say to Tom? Like, I don't remember the exact question. It's like, what did you say to Tom how you felt or what he did? And then she starts to answer it, but then that reveals the fact that she's been speaking to Tom after the divorce, which she said she had not been. So that, I'm curious to see how that plays out. The fact that they're filming now while the reunion's still airing is also kind of ruining it for me in terms of like, oh, we know that Erica is playing with them all once again. Like Garcelle and Erica at the gym, like lifting weights.
Yeah, but that doesn't bug me.
Okay.
I'm really interested in... my favorite part about that part of the reunion was the Sutton Crystal, like, we're friends moment. And, like, that being resolved in a way that was, like, I don't know. I just like them as friends.
Sure, yeah, definitely.
And I hate what Crystal went through, like, from the fucking fans. So if any of you listening to Andy's Girls sent Crystal hate...
No, they would never. Come
after racist you. Hate. I mean, and people passionately dislike Crystal. And I wonder how much of that is related to disliking Crystal versus thinking you're doing so as a support to Sutton, who very explicitly said on the last part, if my behavior in any way helped with the racist attacks that you have been receiving, I am sorry. Like, I really, as an outsider to all of this, obviously really appreciated that she said that, because I do think that there's a way that people think they can behave monstrously online because they're doing so as a support to whomever, and you're not. You're just acting like a beast.
You're being a loser.
When you DM these people and say they should kill themselves or die, or that they're ugly, and you make attacks about their physical appearance, or you try to drag their relationships or whatever, it's disgusting. Like, you're not. Sometimes I wish, honestly, that Bravo came with a learner's permit. I do, because it's like, you're not. If that is the enjoyment that you're getting from this, like, people have the right to do and say whatever they want about Housewives. I just think the relishing and the cruelty is in incredibly poor taste. Not like that matters, but I do kind of think it does.
It's just so weird. Like, go talk to your friend about how you hate someone. Exactly. Like, why are you telling the person, weirdo?
Like, text someone.
Text a friend.
Fucking freak.
I think that it... Fucking freak, oh Lord. I think that a part of it also has to do with the fact that because Housewives is a show built around women saying how they feel and sometimes being celebrated and praised for saying negative things, that people think that they are allowed permission to do so IRL. And yet there is also the idea, some housewife posted this recently, I forget who it was and what it was in relation to, but it was like the idea of like, you normalize not telling someone when you disagree with them. Like, you don't always need to communicate, especially when your attempt is to make someone feel bad or, God forbid, harm them. Like, talk to your friends, listen to pods, watch the show, write a book. Like, there are a variety of ways that you can discuss that does not involve actively trying to make someone feel bad And you don't always need to disagree. I can feel a certain way about a certain housewife. You can feel a polar opposite way about that person. We can talk about it. My goal is likely not aiming to convince you that I'm right. It's just to fucking talk. Mm-hmm. Like, what the fuck? I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, like, for me, as a viewer of these shows, it's, like, it's good to watch, but I don't need to, like, tweet at any of them or be in the mix with any of them, really. I don't want communication with any of them. I maybe, like, I probably sent, like, weird tweets about, like, Jill Zarin in 2009, but I probably regret those.
Oh, what was Jill Zarin 2009 season 3?
No, that would be season 2, 2009. Season 3 was 2010. Oh. Yeah. But yeah, I'm sure I exhibited that behavior like 10 years ago, but I'm over it. Mm. We've moved on.
Wait, can we circle back though? What was it in season 2 that you really were up in arms over?
I don't think I was even like, I just like probably like said like, "Oh, I agree with like whomever or something." Yeah. I have no idea.
I think you know. I think you're
no, I actually don't know. I do know my biggest block that I do know the answer of why I got blocked is that with what's her name? Who is the Scientologist who
Kirstie Alley
used to do Kirstie Alley? Mm-hmm. When Leah Remini started exposing Scientology, I said I tweeted my favorite Star War was the one between Kirstie Alley and Leah Remini, because it was like,
that was science. Wow, so good one, Brandon. Not even a good
joke. Oh my god, I can't believe I like read that.
Oh my god,
me thinking I'm Joan Rivers, but yes.
Oh
yeah, she blocked me.
My. Well, I feel like that's probably as positive an interaction you can get with someone before you're blocked. Yeah. It's just silence and an immediate block. That's probably a benefit to both of you to that extent. But when it comes to, you know, the Crystal and Sutton of it all, I think a lot of people can just agree to disagree. This person is not my favorite and here's why. This person is not my favorite and here's why. Or I understand this person's navigational process and here's why. And that is...
These two people have made up fully and like been good on it. So like, let's move on, freaks.
Yeah.
freaks of it all. It is also just honestly lovely to see Crystal and Sutton posting from like a Dodgers game together.
I know.
To
I love baseball.
To see how far they've gone. Like, it's a home run for the viewers.
Oh,
but it kind of is. Shut up.
Take us out to the home team or whatever. Take us out to the crowd.
Did you have any other reactions to the rumors? Not necessarily the rumors of Erica's return, which we know have been proven fact, but to the ways that Erica responded, whether it was to Crystal in the "I'm not mad enough for you" or in her refusal to understand how the majority feels about her lack of empathy toward the victims.
I mean, I'm just, I guess what I'm curious about is they've expressed these thoughts and now like we're going to be holding hands, like skipping and doing jumping rope together. Like, I don't understand.
I know. They're going to be doing double dodge.
They're going to be doing double dodge. Like, how does Crystal express that and then want to hang out with her, you know?
But it's not only Crystal.
Oh yeah, everyone, like, of course. The only one that's not like expressing negative feelings towards Erica's behavior is Lisa Rinna, of course, who would be playing patty cake with Erica till like she's carted away forever. So
I know.
I don't know.
And then are we gonna get Jennifer Tilly in the mix?
Please.
Is my question.
Were there discussions that was going to happen?
Well, she's just like Sutton's best friend. So like, hello, also Chucky.
I do have to say I'm super, super behind on Watch What Happens, but I did watch the Jennifer Tilly episode, I think, in full. And Psycho. Andy looked so, she was so good and would not, I mean, talk about not letting the mouse go. She gave her very honest response to absolutely everything in a way that I think Andy quickly found exhausting. Yeah. And it was just fantastic television.
The kind of guests that I like, to be honest. Like chaos.
It was so chaotic. And we don't necessarily get that often because people are relatively on guard or they have their quips prepared. And it was a breath of fresh air. I think it would be too much to have her on Housewives. But I do appreciate her social media best friendship. I think that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, God, what else is there to say? I feel like there's so much to say about Beverly Hills. There's just never going to be enough time.
I know.
It's wild that we have another part. Tell me, Dan.
I think what I'm looking forward to is to see if there is an actual update to the situation, to see that it will now play out in real time once again, like the first go around. Because there's kind of been not a lot going on with Tom and Erica for months and months.
Mm-hmm.
So
you're saying like we might have like a boring season if there's not like any legal updates?
I don't know.
I don't know that would make a boring season happen. I think it would be settling into the discomfort of a purgatory-esque state of like,
true,
this isn't necessarily going to be resolved anytime soon. So what do we do with ourselves in the meantime? And where does Erica put her righteous anger? Seeming to her righteous anger.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I don't know that it's going to be settled. Allegedly, the bankruptcy estate wants to settle with her and she wants to settle with them. But I don't know what that will take, and I don't know if she is even interested in owning up to updates that come in real time, because she is very comfortable saying alleged well past the point of alleged being the appropriate term. Yeah. So a huge update could come and she would say, much like the LA Times piece, it's one-sided. Yeah. So who knows if updates really even matter to
her. I mean, there's between her and Tom. There's Tom and the people suing him. Unfortunate to say, but also Tom is just not doing well, it seems, from what we've seen of him. So like his own personal health updates. So there's just a lot that could happen in the next few months that I'm curious to see how that plays out with everyone else.
Who would you rank as the most valuable housewife currently on BH as of right now?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone is kind of...
Do you have no idea?
It's strange going, like, ending the season and saying, let's keep everyone, because that wasn't really the vibe on Beverly Hills for a long time, but I kind of do want to keep everyone.
No, but okay, my heart goes to Sutton as most valuable. I mean, like, if she really ran the season as far as, like, being willing to call Erica out or like be the punching bag the entire season. I think that's valuable.
Yeah, I think there's value in going against the alliance. And we have the alliance of Dorit, Rena, Erica, and Kyle. And someone was able to stand up to it.
Yeah, I think that Erica is incredibly, obviously incredibly important to the franchise right now and to the storylines of it all. And I think Sutton is so fucking valuable. It's like not even, I think it's like a close 1-2 because I think they have to work in tandem. I think that like one is important because of the tension with the other. It just, it works regardless of how much Erica is upset about that. Like it's just, that's just the reality.
And hopefully Erica realizes that.
Mm.
I think it will be interesting to watch her refuse to acknowledge the fact that Sutton is very important.
Yeah.
And that regardless of the alliance, of the Fox Force, whatever, Sutton is very important. And how do you put that? Because you can call her a small town girl, but you know what? In the eyes of housewives, she's fucking big ass city. You know?
At the end of the day, she's Dorinda Important .gif.
Do you know? Wow.
Important.
Can I just tell you, I think this episode was, I loved it. oh God, the were the most cringe episode of anything. One of the most cringe moments. Brighty is on our list of very important people when it comes to, she's at least number 12. Guys, this episode felt very important. I love you both so much. I love talking Housewives with you. I could do it for hours and hours, but I want to be respectful of your time so I can have you back tomorrow.
This episode felt unhinged, but in a good way.
As soon as we had Giselle at 4, it just went off the tracks.
me reminding people that Giselle is very beautiful.
Yeah.
At every corner.
I need to bring back drinking games to AG. It used to be back in the day, Damien and I would have a cocktail at the beginning of the episode. And
oh my God, Damien was a king.
Oh yeah.
So good at the live show, by the way.
Loved him there. Yeah.
Yes. He was great. He was amazing. Yeah. He was amazing. But I think the drinking game phrase for this episode is Giselle is very beautiful. Here's why. I think that's what that expression would be. Guys, speaking of the live episode of Andy's Girls, you can listen to it. 90 minutes of rollicking laughs and so much delight exclusively on the AG Patreon.
And I think Dan makes an appearance during it.
Mm-hmm. Dan does make an appearance during it. Dan asked a question during the question and answer and was an absolute mensch, and I loved every moment of it. And I believe I started screaming through Queen when I saw you across the line. So I loved that. There are actually several content creators who ask questions. Dylan Hafer with Bravo by Betches. Veronica Kelly Dodd's stepdaughter made an appearance and asked a question during the Q&A.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I didn't want to introduce her as Kelly Dodd's stepdaughter because I think we could have veered left a little bit. But a lot of people from the Bravo world attended, including both of you, of which I'm incredibly appreciative. And if you guys want to listen to that special episode, available exclusively on the Andy's Girls Patreon, where there is also an additional 2 hours of content that went up this week, including a Satchel Spectacular, getting AG's thoughts and feels, questions and concerns about all things housewifery, and a sit down on the People's Couch, the premium tier, with OG of the AG, Nicole, an Andy Scrolls listener, where we had a very deep dive. We talked about, I mean, we mentioned it all. It was a fascinating journey. We mentioned it all. And also, guys, doing a Zoom Kiki for Sassgiving with OGs of the AG level on Patreon. So sign up and tell me when you're available because I posted a poll. Gentlemen, tell me, where can people listen to Come Through Queen? What is your elevator pitch of the heart and soul of Come Through Queen in addition to saying how gorge Giselle Bryant absolutely is?
Well, okay, you can listen at comethroughqueen.com, of course. Links to like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, links to social, etc. Brendan, what is the elevator pitch?
We are unwell people talking about housewives. And no, I mean, like, if you heard our ranking, you know how we think. And we have broken brains. Yeah.
Also famously a Heather Dubrow fan podcast. So
yes, Heather Dubrow stan podcast is what people call us. Yes.
I love that. And tell me where people can join the Patreon so they can listen to the full
it's all at comethroughqueen.com.
Oh, okay. Look at you fancy with your website that just gives people everything.
We're going to give the gays everything they're looking for, as Erica Jane would say.
Oh, and I love, do you know that comes up as a GIF on Insta stories, and I've never once used it. I feel weird. It's like a weird drawing of Erica, and I'm like, I don't know how I feel about this, but I know that I love
that's
you
okay.
both. Do you want to do you want to share your social media handle? Is everything at
comes through? Everything's at comethroughqueen.com. Yeah.
Wow, guys, take a little journey there and
take a little time to enjoy the view.
I love that. And that's the best way to end this week's episode. Aside from saying follow me on Instagram, because I do have sarahgalley.com. You guys should go there and tell me what it's like.
Follow Dame Galley wherever she is.
Dame Galley. Follow me on Instagram at Dame Galley. And guys, hope you are all staying safe, staying sane, getting vaccinated if you can, voting if you're
tomorrow.
In the New York area or wherever
Virginia's
else
also
voting
important.
Happens. Virginia's important. Just do the opposite of whatever Ramona recommends and we'll be fine. And we'll talk to you guys soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye.